Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Paul requested Tiffany for Triple Play Thursday.
There's three songs?
Yeah, she had three hits.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I think this is the only time in Nick D show history where the newsroom, the traffic, and the producer hut were all jamming out and the host was looking disgusted.
Well, here's the thing. I have nothing against Tiffany. She's fine. I happen to love that song by Tommy James and the Shondells, not by Tiffany. If you played the Tommy James version, I'd have been jamming. No, I don't have anything against Tiffany.
And her acid-washed jean jacket?
Yeah.
And her very large hair.
She had some hair.
Beautiful red hair.
Yeah.
Listener Paul, who suggested that, imagined Esmeralda going to see Tiffany at the mall and then walking to the As Seen on TV store to purchase products.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Who do you side with, Tiffany or Debbie Gibson? Go ahead. Well, you guys are all painful. Look on your face.
That's
like
a tough
this is
one.
Like it's like.
I mean, Debbie had more hits, but that song is just so good.
Yeah.
What song? The one you just played?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. If you played the Tommy James and the Shondell version,
Tiffany seems like she'd be more fun.
Yeah. I don't know.
I saw Debbie Gibson at a television event not too long ago, and she looks exactly the same.
She looks great.
Did.
Yeah, she looks great. Tiffany's got all kinds of nose rings and stuff now, doesn't she? She posed for Playboy. Didn't she pose for Playboy, Tiffany?
I thought it was Debbie Gibson that
did. They both did.
What?
Yeah, they both did. Look, what, Vic, you going to get back issues now? You going to go subscribe?
Don't search here at work.
No, I'm pretty sure they both did. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Both of them did. So. All right. Well, okay. We got two more Tiffany songs to listen to, everybody. All right. So here. Listen now. Now listen. By the way, I haven't even reset the show. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720. I got all discombobulated with Tiffany singing one of my favorite Tommy James songs. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio, everybody. Live in the Allstate Studio. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. So here's the deal. I've got a hardcover commemorative book on the World Series champion Chicago Cubs to give away. It is 192 pages. It's the biggest book available on this historic season with a free poster inside, produced by Cub fans for Cub fans. This is the book Cub fans have been waiting for their whole life. And I have one to give away right now to caller number 7, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Caller number 7 is going to get this incredible hardcover, beautiful book. And if you do not end up being caller number 7, you can get yours online at champsonly.com. Champsonly.com. Use promo code WGN to save 15% with free shipping. So that's how you can get your own copy if you don't turn out to be caller number 7 here. So get it online again at champsonly.com. Use promo code WGN and you save 15% with free shipping. And it's a hardcover commemorative book all about the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. So there you go. And again, champsonly.com. Use your promo code WGN. Save 15% and free shipping. So, boy, the phone's lit up quick. People enjoy the Cubs.
I hear they did good things.
They had a pretty good season.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, wasn't bad. We have a winner already. Number 7, caller number 7 is our friend Teresa. So there you go. All right, Teresa, congratulate Teresa. Congratulations to Teresa. She got a copy of the book. So there you go. All right. So Esmeralda, you ready to find out some classic movie scenes that were in fact improvised?
Oh, sure.
Here's the first one. I'm assuming you've seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Esmeralda?
Yes.
Do you know that Willy Wonka, you probably knew this because when Gene Wilder passed away, we talked about this. but his entrance, the very first time you see Willy Wonka.
Yes.
when he flipped over and stuff,
that was
improvised by Gene Wilder. It was his idea. And he said that he accepted the role on the condition that he got to add the surprise entrance for the film. In letters to the director, he explained his reasoning. From that time on, no one will know if I'm lying or telling the truth. And it's a beautiful, it's a great moment in the movie, and it was all improvised. It was all thought up by the great Gene Wilder. Now, this one you have to know is true. The chest waxing scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin, because that's real. They just put the
you can't really fake hair on.
No, he really did have the wax ripped out, and all of those reactions, the guys in the room with him, and the woman doing the waxing. And, you know, the whole Kelly Clarkson, that was all improvised. Yeah, it says the whole chest waxing scene was completely authentic. It was Steve Carell's first time being waxed, and every single swear word was genuine. It was a genuine response to the pain. That's a very funny scene. Very funny. How about this? Dumb and Dumber. Esmeralda, are you a fan of Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, yeah.
You got to love Dumb and Dumber. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Remember that part?
Yeah.
Improvised. Like many scenes in the film, the hitchhiking one is improvised. Peter Farrelly, one of the directors of Dumb and Dumber, said that 15% of the film was indeed improvised. That doesn't surprise me. You know, did you ever see, you watch, Esmeralda, every once in a while, you've watched Inside the Actor's Studio, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the one with Jeff Daniels?
I did not, no.
It's great because, you know, because Jeff Daniels is like an award-winning actor, you know, been nominated for Academy Award, you know, he won an Emmy for The Newsroom, he's done amazing stage work, he's been in movies directed by legendary filmmakers, but he spent like 10 minutes talking about how much he loved Dumb and Dumber. I was so happy. I was like, that's fantastic that, and he was talking about how it was one of his favorite roles, you know, ever. And that one of his favorite people to ever work with was Jim Carrey. Like one of the most challenging and most rewarding partners to work with was Jim Carrey. And I was like, that's cool, man. Because here's like, you expect, you know, Inside the Actor's Studio, we'll talk about the craft, you know. And then they're talking about how great Dumb and Dumber is. He's talking about how much he loves his favorite, one of his favorite roles. I remember I met Tom Hanks at the Chicago Film Critics Awards when he won for Forrest Gump. He came to town to pick up the award, and I walked up to him, and I had a couple of cocktails, and I walked up to him, and I'm like, hey, you know, and he's an incredibly nice guy, and I shook his hand. I'm like, hey, Tom Hanks, and I'm shaking his hand, and I said, hey, listen, now that you're probably going to win a second Oscar in a row here, I don't want you to forget about Bachelor Party, man. Don't forget about your work in Bachelor Party. And then he just immediately launched in and started doing lines from Bachelor Party for me. And then it's like, no, are you kidding me? I love that movie. It's some of my finest work. I was like, man, Tom Hanks is cool. And now he's David S. Pumpkins. He's gonna be David S. Pumpkins. That's what he's going to – it's like when – it's so funny because here's another guy. He's, he won two Academy Awards in a row. You know, one of the most beloved – iconic Hollywood stars and actors of all time, and his tombstone is going to read David S. Pumpkins at this point. That's like when Christopher Walken, you know, been nominated for an Academy Award, been in some amazing movies from unbelievable filmmakers. Every time he walks down the street, people scream cowbell at him, and that's it. They just scream more cowbell. That's what he's going to be known for the rest of his life. All right, more improvised funny or famous movie moments coming up, and then after 4:30, Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another unbelievable battle for pop-up video supremacy. And Dave Ennett and his cats, and his psychic cats. Now the cats are psychic, too.
Well, they have to be for him to communicate with
them.
And he is on the road with Northwestern, so.
Okay.
With a trail of cats behind him.
Yeah, they played last night, didn't they?
I don't know if Andy Mazur has control over any animals, but we'll find out, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Andy's here. I saw him he's in the sports room right now, in the sports department right now. All right, well, we'll find out when Esmeralda starts singing. Everything's going to go nuts.
Gonna be so beautiful.
Sad Tiffany. I remember this song. Paul requested Tiffany. Could have been. Dan, you remember how sad you were when you first heard this song?
This is actually my first time, so I'm going to be very sad for the rest of the show.
Well, it's okay because you can take a break because Skip Skipley is coming back.
That's true. I'm out of here at 4:30.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, Tiffany. All right. You remember that song, Esmeralda? The sad little Tiffany tune?
Nope.
Why do I remember that song? How is it possible?
Because you secretly love Tiffany?
I don't know if there's any secret about it. I just don't. I like Tiffany. She's fine. I don't want her messing around with Tommy James and the Shondells. Now, Joan Jett covering Tommy James, that's cool. Joan Jett covered Crimson and Clover, and it rules, because Joan Jett's awesome. You know, that was my favorite when I was growing up, Esmeralda, when I was a little kid. I worshipped Tommy James and the Shondells. Worshipped them. I loved Tommy James. As my first, the first musical artist I was ever obsessed with as a little kid was Tommy James. Now, I remember he was on with Steve and Johnny some years ago, and I called in and I got to talk to him, and I was kind of freaking out. You look up Tommy James's, you're not familiar, I'm assuming, Esmeralda, you probably don't even know who Tommy James is, do you?
I mean, I know the song.
Yeah.
But that's about, oh, and they did Crimson and Clover.
Crimson and Clover. He did Moni Moni, which, you know, Idiot Idol, Billy Idol covered.
And I just found, I don't know if he's the one, but I just found a group picture of a man with very large hair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 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 no.
A cape. No.
Let me explain something to you. If you're going to look up imagery of Tommy James and the Shondells from the 60s, it is fabulous. It is outstanding.
He's wearing a cape. Oh. He's got a big old mustache.
Oh, man.
And that hair.
His first hits were like in the mid 60s, but then as he, you know, progressed into the late 60s and stuff, his hair got longer and weirder, but he was like kind of a mod look at first, like when his first.
Yeah. I think he's wearing a ruffled shirt.
Oh, my God. He was the best, man. Dan, did you ever get to talk to Tommy James? Was he ever on the show when you were?
No, he was just out of reach. I know his PR lady emails me about other guests every once in a while. She always mentions, like, hey, you know, when his book is done, I'll let you know so you can have him on the show, but still waiting for it.
He's writing a book?
He's writing a book.
Come on, Tommy, finish it so you can do my show! I'll tell you what, though, he got paid. You know what I mean? Like, he got some cashola from the Tiffany record. So good. That's what when I interviewed John Carpenter, I was like, how do you feel about people, you know, remaking your movies? And he's like, well, I don't care. I get paid. I'm like, okay, that's good. He goes, I think it's all for it. He actually said, my dream in life ever since I was a kid was to get paid and do nothing. Like, okay. All right, a couple more improvised scenes here real quick. You knew this one, right? Pretty Woman, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah. The jewelry.
The jewelry box, the closing. She didn't expect it, which is why she had that reaction. How about you're going to need a bigger boat in Jaws? Did you know that? I didn't find out about this till a few years ago.
No.
That was Roy Scheider, the late, great, the awesome, the always cool Roy Scheider. You guys ever see Blue Thunder?
Nope.
Can't say that I have.
You haven't? Now, you know they had a TV show based on the Blue Thunder, and it was right on the same time as Airwolf, so it was the two crazy helicopter shows. They were on at the same time. Blue Thunder rules the movie. Roy Scheider, the king. All right. I'm sure you probably knew this one. I'm walking here from Midnight Cowboy. The cab almost ran over Dustin Hoffman. And that was improvised. That was just Dustin Hoffman. And that's become iconic, as the next one has, too. You Talking to Me from Taxi Driver. They just turned the camera on and De Niro just went. And that's become like one of the most iconic things ever. All right. The party scene in Ghostbusters, that's Rick Moranis made up all that stuff on off the cuff, like him walking around a party and talking to people. That was just Rick Moranis rambling. I miss Rick Moranis. I miss him. He retired, man, from the movie world. Here's Johnny in The Shining. That was improvised. That's come down to the a legendary status. No, but this is the one. This is the one that every time I hear that, and I knew about this one, every time I hear that this was improvised, it blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind. And I personally think it might be the greatest improvised moment in film history. And that's Rutger Hauer's Tears in the Rain monologue at the end of Blade Runner. That was all Rutger Hauer. And like, you know, he just did it on the set. And if you look at Harrison Ford's expression, it's like, what is happening? And it is one of the most beautiful, I think one of the most beautiful monologues ever. And it was all Rutger Hauer. That was all Rutger Hauer. And it sums up the entire experience of that character and that movie. Ugh. Fantastic. All right. I hear Tiffany's going to cover that that speech on her next tour. Does she still tour, Tiffany? She was on a bunch of those reality Let's All Live in a Hut, you know, when they put a bunch of celebrities in a hut. What was that one that was on VH1 as well? Was it Surreal Life?
Yes.
With like Vanilla Ice and Flava. That's how Flava Flav started his run on VH1. He was with Brigitte Nielsen in the Surreal Village hut.
Ticketmaster does not have any current dates open for Tiffany.
Damn it. All right. We're going to have to settle for Boys to Men, Paula Abdul.
Settle.
And New Kids in the Streets. New Kids in the Hut. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, Esmeralda and I will battle in pop-up video supremacy, and it'll be the return of Skip Skipley. We'll be right back.